In this issue of All Access Nerds, we talk about Hardcore Henry, Orphan Black, the new Batman movie, hopefully, and Would You Be a Real Hero? Well, I'm Nick.
And I'm Ryan.
And thanks for tuning in to issue number 8 of All Access Nerds. So, Ryan, how you been doing?
Been doing good. Doing real good. How about you?
I'm doing great.
Cool, cool.
You know, I think it may have been issue 7 we talked about different powers and of Superman and Thor.
Yes.
Now, I'm kind of blindsiding you on this because I didn't talk to you about it ahead of time. But I'm not going to read every one of these. I did write it down, and it was at 50, and I stopped.
Okay.
Of Superman powers that he's used over the years. Unfortunately, it got wet and it's ruined, so I had to just find the list again. So I'm going to go over some of these Superman powers that he has.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we know he has super strength.
Has had at one point.
Has had or still has.
Okay.
Or at least has used at one time since 1938.
Okay, okay.
Now this is coming from Ranker.com. So of course we know he's got super strength, he's got flight, he's invulnerable. My neighbor's mowing his lawn. Oh, joy. All right, he's got heat vision, accelerated healing, super speed, x-ray vision, energy absorption, super hearing, ice breath, hyper intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Learns languages pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Telescopic vision.
Mm-hmm.
He's got super breath, microscopic vision,
mm-hmm.
super memory. Some of these seem pretty cheesy, the stuff that he's used. Super swim. He also used a...
It's like Namor has that, but go on.
This is Superman. This is super time travel. Telepathy. Super math. This is actually in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Telekinesis.
Okay.
Yeah. Indestructible cape.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Kryptonian material. That makes sense.
Super eating. Yeah, I'm just telling you. This is...
Thanks, 1970s.
No, this is actually... I don't know when this was. Yeah, it was probably 70s.
It was most likely
Action 70s. Comics, looks like issue 456, perhaps?
Yeah, that was probably about...
Back 70s, in the day, yep. 60s. How about a super creepy kissing? Memory erased as needed. We saw that in the Superman movie with when he kissed Lois Lane.
Yep.
Here's one. Super friction. I'm not going to elaborate on that one at all or even make any jokes. Sensitivity to radio transmissions. Mind reading.
Okay.
This is your Superman mind reading.
But, I mean, I didn't do the homework on it, but there was, I mean, if you look up Thor had, with his hammer, there was these enchantments, so that's what their scapegoat was for. But he had a lot of the same things, time travel, telekinesis, mind reading, like he had a lot of the same kind of thing. And it was just like these one, you know, and yeah, Superman has them too, you know, obviously. And I think a lot of the superheroes, especially in the 70s or 60s, where the writers... It was a different time.
Yeah, no imagination. I'm sorry. I don't mean to disrespect any artist or writer from 60s and 70s. I get it. Totally great books. Set the standards. You know, it's history. It's part of Superman's history.
Yeah.
Dragon Breath. We'll move on to a couple more of these real quick here. Super Duplication. He created a duplicate of himself. Super Antiquing. He used his breath... The force of my super breath will create an artificial aging effect, so the writing will appear centuries old. Wow.
That's interesting.
Super hypnotism. He's got a super sneeze.
That we've seen in Smallville. It ties in with the super breath. Yeah.
Throwing holographic S's. We saw that in the Superman movies and the original ones. Super voice. Super landscaping. From far lands comes super landscaping. Super cigar smoking. That one's definitely from back in the day.
It's just a matter of take a task, throw super in front of it, make Superman do it. And that's a power, I guess. But
well, he was trying to create a smoke screen, in all fairness.
Okay, okay.
Super weaving. I unraveled the unharmed silken threads. They dried in the sun. Now my super weaving, I'm just baffled by this. Now my super weaving will convert them into a modern wedding gown. That's just so weird.
Huh.
He's got the power of suggestion. Super ventriloquism. I'm not even going to go to that one. I've got to. spit out tiny, equally powered versions of himself through his fingers.
Huh. Okay.
Shape-shifting. Diamond vision. Oh, here's my favorite. Rainbow rays from fingertips. Superman's new power. Come on. Atmosphere converting power. Magic wishes. That was Red Kryptonite.
So, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
I'm almost done here. I'm finished up here. I'm on number 45.
Stand by, people.
Right. Super lock picking magnetism. My super magnet touch should easily unlock the door to Colin's room. See, now he's breaking and entering. He's got a third eye. Super projectionist. Playing possum while shapeshifting. I'm just reading it, man. Control over ants. Super caller ID. My telephone's ringing. My telepathic powers revealed to me that the caller's ID is my editor, Perry White. And it goes on. Super makeup. And it just goes on. I'm done. I can't handle any more.
The viewers thank you. And we thank you, John Byrne, for helping with the cleansing of the ridiculousness. I'll agree with that. That's ridiculous, some of the storylines that he's got. And they gave him these one-shot powers for the story, and wham, bam, and he saved the day. But John Byrne killed him off, brought him back, and he's a lot more contained, I guess.
Anyway, moving on. My apologies, listeners. had to do that. Ryan?
So, 8 minutes in.
What do you got going on for comics?
This week, still plowing through a lot of them, because there was a lot that came out this week that I liked. And still catching up, even on last week's, too. For me, I got Spider-Man number 3, and I liked it a lot. So far, it's been an okay storyline. Kind of went away from the Blackheart in the first two issues. And he was okay. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Spider-Man mixing with, like, demons and devils and whatnot. I prefer it to be more of a Spider-Man storyline tied in with more technology and more science fiction elements than, like, supernatural and whatnot. But that's just me. So this one kept out Blackheart and all that stuff, so I liked that. But surprisingly, there was no Spidey action. There was no fighting, you know, Vulcan or Green Goblin or nothing. Mainly because it was Miles Morales. This is that Spider-Man. Miles Morales is getting scolded, you know, getting yelled at by his grandma because his grades have dropped. And it's bringing back the realization that he has to try to balance the high school and the crime-fighting stuff. You know, he's been heavily on the crime-fighting stuff with a lot of the stuff that's going on with all new, all different Avengers and whatnot. He's seeing that there needs to be a balance, and he's got to figure out how to do that. Maybe we'll see something different than what Peter Parker has done in the past. And maybe we'll have something brand new. Maybe he'll come out as Spider-Man right now. Who knows? But I think for me, issue number 4 got to be able to hook me. Because I think at that point I might jump off the book if it doesn't hook me in another issue or two. The other book for me was Darkseid War. But this one was just a special. It was no Justice League or nothing. It was just a special one-shot. And it was the story of Jade, I believe her name is. And she's, like, stuck in this alternate dimension with the Green Lantern power battery. And there's all these old Green Lanterns that were kind of like their souls or something were trapped in this dimension. So she's trying to break out and, like, find her courage and all that stuff. It's really good. Really cool. At the ending, it was interesting to see the kind of little plot twist. Surprise at the end. So if you like some the Darkseid War, definitely check out the special. It was worth it, because the bigger thing for it was the origin story of Grail. You know, we've heard a little bit about her and how she's Darkseid's daughter mixed with one of the Amazon's daughter. Now we get to kind of get some backstory behind her and see some of her motivation and just the challenges she's had growing up being Darkseid's daughter. So but for me, that's really the only two books that I've read. I've done a lot more research into some of the stuff with Rebirth. I'm really excited for it. And I'm going to catch up on some of the other books. The Super League, I think it's called. The Superman titles this month are having a overarching storyline. Just 4 issues. One each week. Yeah, it should be pretty good. I'm going to see what it is. I heard a little bit about it. Not going to talk about it yet. From what I've heard, really check it out. It's going to be a great story. They're pulling all the stops because they kind of know, hey, here in a month or so, it's going to be moving on from here. Let's just let's see what we can do with the character and kind of maybe tie into what we have in the future with Rebirth. And I'll mention just a smidge of that later. Just a smidge. some new stuff came out. Cover that just a little bit.
Please don't beat a dead horse. DC.
No. Upcoming. No. Oh, of course not. So, how about you, Nick? What did you read recently?
I picked up a few today. Black Road from Image. Yeah, it's not bad. It's issue number one. New series. Artwork's decent. It's more of a sketching of
the artwork. Yeah, I saw that. It looked pretty good.
Yeah, the storyline, it's all right. It's kind of a medieval story, if you will.
Okay.
I won't buy number two. So, I also bought Marvel's Amazing Spider-Man issue number 10. That's Peter Parker, the real Spider-Man.
I mean, technically they're both real Spider-Man, but go on.
This one, he's been fighting the Zodiac. That's part of the storyline. I'm not going to go into details on it. They're trying to wrap it up, and in the background, Doc Ock is slowly coming back, which there's a big Spider-Man storyline coming on pretty soon. And I'm thinking that, I think it's called Dead No More, so I'm going to assume that they're going to bring back Dr. Octavius.
Okay.
Because his spirit or his soul or something is trapped inside of a robot that Parker has / Spider-Man. And every once in a while, you see the image of Doc Ock in the eyes.
Okay.
They don't really put a finger on it. Like, hey, look, it's just there.
Hmm.
It's weird. So that, and I got Spidey, issue number 4. Now, I'm a very big Doctor Who fan, too.
Yeah.
I'm a big Doctor Doom
fan. You like your doctors.
Yeah, I like my doctors. This one, the front cover, had Doctor Doom. And like you said earlier, when you saw it, I was like, he's probably not even going to be in there.
Yeah.
He was in it. He was actually, Doctor Doom himself was on the last page in the last 3 panels of the last page. The other ones were his Doombots. And the issue was just weak. It sucked. I felt it was bad. But that Spidey book is set up where he's 15 years old. He just got his powers not too long ago. So they've kind of reset the clock on this one. So that's what that was about. I wasn't impressed. I didn't like the storyline. I won't buy any more Spidey books. I'll buy Amazing Spider-Man because I really enjoy that one. So other than that, that was it. I did pick up one called Gwenpool. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I kind of thumbed through it. Looked kind of cheesy. It's issue number one. It's a new character in the Marvel Comics. That's about it for me, though.
You mentioned the cover art thing. Just last week, me and a couple friends of mine were in a comic book shop, and then we went to like Barnes & Noble real quick. I forgot what it was. We saw some comic. Maybe it was Marvel, maybe it was DC. It doesn't really matter. We're each fans of either one. I made a comment about somebody was, oh, that cover looks pretty cool. And I mentioned, I bet you they're not even fighting in that issue. And so they thumbed through it real quick, and it's like, oh, there they are. No, they're not fighting. Okay. And I've seen that a lot, and it's
deceptive and disappointing.
Yes. Like, it's a cool cover, and you're like, sweet, I can frame that, I can get it graded, whatever. But you expect, I guess, the whole storyline, the whole thing of don't judge a book by its cover. I mean, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, but still, like, you should at least have something that ties in more than just, like, bait, almost. Like, it's like, Dr. Doom, about to kill Spider-Man. It's like, oh, this is my last breath. And then they're totally fine. And, like, Spider-Man's actually winning the fight or something. Or he just shows up last page. That kind of stuff I'm not the biggest fan of. But it happens so much. I've seen it countless times. It's pretty funny. Especially when you can tell when the covers are so exaggerated. And you thumb through it quick. And you're like, yep, this is nothing to do with anything on the cover.
No, he fought the Doombots. And I don't think, I'd have to look through it again, I don't think any of the Doombots were dressed up like Dr. Doom.
Really?
The first guy he fights is wearing a hoodie and a mask. A mask of Dr. Doom. So, anyway, you're right, it's just disappointing sometimes.
Yeah, I agree completely. Couple things with comic book news.
Oh, I'm sorry, you ready to talk about
comic book news? Yes. So we got Rebirth. If you guys haven't checked it out, go to one of your local comic book shops. There's also, it's all online right now, but still, go to a local comic shop, buy some comics. And be sure to mention the DC Comics previews. Because if you got it last week, I think it was, last 2 weeks or so, you'll notice that the one that's supposed to come out this month doesn't have any DC Comics stuff. Because this month we'll be covering the DC Rebirth. So we got Rebirth comics everywhere. It's going to be great. I'm excited for it. They have all the cover arts there. Some things, though, this is where I'm kind of confused, because they have, and I'm guessing that's where, it's because it's not under the New 52 title, the reason why it doesn't have an issue with that, but there are actually some issues that are going to be continuing on, at least for this month, after Rebirth has started. For instance, Cyborg, Constantine, Justice League of America, a few others. When they were launched, they were launched under their DCU title. So, like Red Hood and Arsenal, it looks like they're ending, but I don't see that, you know, Deathstroke, for instance, I don't see that it's listed that it's ending. Or no, or Dr. Fate. So there's going to be some that are ending, some that aren't.
So they're not all going to restart with number one? Rebirth with number one?
Not that I'm seeing. No, like the New 52, yes, they will be.
Okay.
But there are some that like came out last year that were not under the New 52 title. They were the DCU, as in You Are the Fan. And it's, you know, Earth 2 Society, Dr. Fate, a few others. Yeah, Cyborg and whatnot. There's some that are listed as, you know, final issue, but some that aren't. So I got to do some more research on that. If you guys know, feel free to comment on this. Clue us in a little bit, because I'm not seeing anything about it, unfortunately. But yeah, certainly, if you want to get Rebirth information, pick up the DC Comics previews. They're straight from the mouth resource information, all right there for you. No need to hear say about what article says what. It's there for you.
You know, I'm sitting here looking at this. You're thumbing through it. I'm looking at the pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to admit, that's some pretty good artwork.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting. Like, even for a previews book, yeah. It's like, cool. This looks really nice. So
I like the artwork. Sam might get into the Green Arrow. I'm probably actually going to go through and buy all the number ones. And then after I read them, may start a couple new DC series.
Yeah.
For a little while. Like the Green Arrow. I like it. Like the whole vigilantism.
That's He's going to be pretty good. I'm liking what they're talking about with his book. They're kind of doing like what they did. And I think it was Green Arrow New 52. It's around issue 16 or 17 or so. You know, he's this rich guy or whatever. They took that all away from him. And I think that's where they're going at now, because they see a lot of the fans like that storyline of him being just a normal guy with some really great martial arts skills, really great archery skills, and seeing if he can still be the hero that he can be without all the money and tech stuff behind him. So, and on top of that, some fans have liked it. Some fans have like, why do we need this? I don't see what the point is. Hanna-Barbera, which a lot of some of the more aged and wise and refined fans, they're doing like a kind of like a reboot thing with them. They're going to be, I think, I forget what it's called, but there's going to be a Scooby-Doo title, and there's going to be something else. I forgot it was Hanna-Barbera Universe or something? Hanna-Barbera something. I can't remember the name of it.
See, Scooby-Doo reboot would be okay. I mean, they're always rebooting Scooby-Doo.
But not like this. I'll see if I can show you real quick, if I can find it. It's pretty different. Like, it's Jim Lee's doing the art, so I'm excited for him. I'm going to check it out. I've already subscribed to at least the first issue. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see them kind of take this concept of these characters that are, you know, created in 60s, 70s, maybe? I can't remember the exact date. But, you know, created a while back then, before I was born.
All right, so I looked up here on my phone. Scooby-Doo reboot could launch Hanna-Barbera movie universe.
Okay.
So I'm seeing Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Scooby-Doo Apocalypse. Scooby Apocalypse is what it's called.
Okay. Looks like maybe Johnny Quest, Space Ghost. Yeah. Well, that'd be cool. Those are possibilities. I'm not saying they're going to do it, folks.
Yeah.
But it's possible.
Yeah. The comics, they're at least going to do that. At least right now, Scooby Apocalypse and Future Quest are the two titles that are confirmed. The characters themselves have been a little bit more redesigned. My goodness, I'm sorry, but the main guy of Scooby-Doo, not Shaggy, but the guy with the ascot.
Phil?
Fred. Sorry, fans.
Wow.
Fred, he's got muscles, he's got some pretty good gear, he's got like a utility belt, like you can kind of see him there. They're kind of reimagining them, kind of bringing them into
modernizing
them. Yeah, modernizing
them. Looks like they did Archie.
Yes, there we go. Yeah, exactly.
He's got a little beard and goatee, didn't he?
Shaggy looks kind of like a hipster, yes. A friend of mine commented on that. It looks like Scooby-Doo, I don't know what it is, but he's got some sort of tech gadgets or something, I don't know. But it seems to be interesting. Like, I'll check it out.
Comic book?
Yeah. It's going to be starting sometime in May. Will be the issue number ones of Scooby Apocalypse and Future Quest. And so in June, we'll get issues two. So I'm at least interested. You know, I'll check it out. The cover has got me intrigued enough. And the idea behind it, you know, these teenagers that are trying to be detectives. And just, there's a lot of stuff going on in their town. And they're trying to help out the way they can. And they have some cool gear. So we'll see.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
You were talking about the comic. I thought you were talking about movies and TV shows.
Oh, okay. No.
So I veered off.
Okay.
Was that it for comics or?
At least so far with the comic book news and whatnot. That's all I got.
Back over to the movies. The Scooby-Doo, looks like it's announced that Scooby-Doo reboot will be called S-C-O-O-B. It's S period, C period, O period, O period, B is in Bravo.
Okay, so it's like an acronym, like S.H.I.E.L.D.
Scooby-Doo Mysteries Incorporated, the animated feature, was characterized in Las Vegas as our shot at unlocking the entire Hanna-Barbera universe. And that's from the director, Tony Cervone. Looks like, in fact, DC Comics has already taken a shot at a Hanna-Barbera shared universe with Future Quest, a new series that brings together such action heroes as Johnny Quest, Space Ghost, Birdman, and the Galaxy Trio, Frankenstein Jr., the Herculoids, oh, I used to love the Herculoids, and Mighty Mitor. It's part of a new line of Hanna-Barbera titles that includes Scooby-Doo Apocalypse, Wacky Raceland, and the Flintstones. And then it goes on. Mm-hmm. Looks like the Scoob is set to arrive in 2018, followed no later, no doubt, by other Saturday morning favorites. So that's cool.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be good now. You know, movies nowadays have been a whole new caliber, and us as the audience are expecting more, so typically the studios give us more. So
the nice thing, too, a lot of these older ones are people who grew up on them.
Yes, yeah. Like, now, like, you're still going to have people that are in the studio directing and writing it. Yeah. That grew up on it, you know, maybe 10 more years or so. Not so much. We'll see.
Yeah, it's a whole new generation every 10 years, shall I say?
And I think I also saw, at least not confirmed yet or announced, but I've seen some art for Flintstones. I don't know exactly what they're going to do there, but it's also something down the road that they're going to be doing as well as with the Flintstones comic book, at least. I don't know. Who knows what can happen? Seems to be pretty cool.
Hopefully do some better, if they come back with some better Flintstone movies, live action movies.
Yeah, yeah.
The other ones are just awful.
Oh, goodness, yeah. But yeah, speaking of movies, we can keep going with the movie news and stuff.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let's go with Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted.
A lot of people like some Bill and Ted.
I love Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted 3. Script, check. Director, check. Studio, check.
Ooh.
The only thing they need is a start time. So they're ready. They're gearing up Bill and Ted 3. They're going to have Keanu Reeves and the other guy. I forgot his name.
I was wondering if you know
the
other guy's name.
I forgot his name. I saw a picture of them together. Yeah, the other guy. Saw them both together in an image. You know,
I'll be damned.
They're ready for it, so they just need a start date. Head off to Bill and Ted 3. I'm excited for it. I liked it so far. We'll see what happens.
I love it. It's time travel anyway. You know what's up with that.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of movies, Hardcore Henry.
Yeah.
We saw that today.
Yeah, we saw that. Yeah.
I didn't discuss with you on my feelings of the movie.
Yeah.
First off, what was yours?
I liked it. Overall, I liked it. It was, what did we say, an hour and a half, I think, is what
the running time is. Yeah, it was an hour and a half. After 20 minutes of previews, the movie finally started.
Yeah.
Then it lasted an hour and a half.
But yeah.
They were good.
Hour and a half runtime. Given my hour and a half, I felt that I was entertained. I got my money's worth and my time spent there for it. For me, it resembled like a lot of like first-person shooter games. It felt like a very long, like, cinematic intro into some video game. Very, very long. Or cutscenes throughout a video game. Because it was just go, go, go. I liked the twist of it a little bit. You know, I wasn't expecting it. I went in with really low expectations. Because if you've seen the trailer for Hardcore Henry, it's all first-person filmed. I don't know what camera they used. Maybe it's a GoPro or something. I don't know. It was all first-person filmed. I liked it a lot. It felt like, you know, a video game almost. And there was some elements that I felt also shared that and noticed that. They're like, okay, we know that this is, you know, resembling a video game. And so we're going to kind of bring out those elements and make sure it's known that we know that. Yeah, I would suggest it, especially if you're older than 17 plus. Because it is rated R, so you can have some language.
Some nudity.
Some nudity, yeah. Gore, gore, and more gore.
Gore, yeah.
So if you have some queasy stomach, I would say pass on this one. Because, yeah, it was all motion. I mean, a lot of motion going on. Running, jumping, falling, guns blazing, heads getting chopped off, arms getting cut, all this stuff. I liked it, though. It was entertaining. What about you?
You said that... All right, it's a movie. It was entertainment. I wasn't overly impressed. My expectations were low. I got my money's worth. I was not overly impressed. It was decent. It was hard. It took me a little while to acclimate myself to the movie.
Yeah.
I was kept expecting there to be not the first person, but the other dimension where we're seeing the actor.
Yeah,
we're seeing the character, not all the character sees. However, that being said, I liked it for the action. It was action almost nonstop.
Yeah,
very action packed. Out of 100% of the movie, I'd have to say 90% of it was pure action.
Yeah,
and from parkour to shooting to fight scenes.
Yeah, explosions.
Yeah, explosions.
Fire. Yeah, it was very, not want to say dumb, but in the category of like a dumb action flick, it was like that. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, deep character development and, you know, romance and all this stuff. I mean, there was motivation. There was enough, I believe, at least from someone, you know, that looks for that generally. But also just, it's a good action flick.
I dub this what I would call an ABC movie. Action, boobs, and chaos. You got those three elements. ABC. It's just a simple movie.
I never heard of it. So if they announced a month from now, Hardcore Henry Part 2, would you go see it? Would you wait for the iTunes? Or
I would wait for it to come out on DVD. Yeah. And rent it or find somebody that has spent their hard-earned money and watch it.
Yeah.
No, I would not rush to the theater and see it.
Okay.
Do I regret going? No, I don't.
Okay.
Would I go see it again? Absolutely not.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, like, that's kind of the love and hate with this movie, is that it's one of its first kind of an action flick. Yeah. To be, you know, shot in first person like this. Truly first person, like completely and wholly. Like, I'm saying that there's no parts in it that's third person. When it first started, I thought it was, but it was just a matter of, nope, this is really, really, it's first person.
It's going to set the standards. It's going to be more like this, and it's coming.
And some people, that deters people away. Like my wife, she's like, I don't want to see it. Like, I'm going to get motion sick from it.
She would have.
Yeah, yeah. And I see some people that could. I think you mentioned a little bit, like, well, this is, all right, got to get accommodated to this. For me, it was like, this is a giant first-person shooter game. This is great.
You were in it. I mean, you were knee-deep into it. Like, I'm sitting there dodging a couple times, like, twisting my head around as he's looking, like, all right, I need to stop.
Yeah, I'm just, like, waiting and waiting for, you know, the guns to come up, the, you know, the heads-up display to show up, and, you know, me to be able to take control of it. But
reload.
Yes, yeah. So it was great. It was great. I liked it for the time that I spent with it.
Hardcore Henry, I would say out of 5 stars, I would have to give it a 2.5.
2.5? Okay. Yeah, that's a little low.
This is me personal. Okay. Yeah.
Out of 5, oh man, I like to go more 10, but out of 5, I say probably 3.5, maybe a 3. See, I don't know how much longer of that stuff I could handle, like especially the final fight scene was intense. Like it was
a little over the top.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my goodness. Like, you know, there's action going everywhere, and it is a lot to take in visually to get it from that view. But for the final fight scene, I'm like, man, I don't know, you know, if I'd want 2 hours of this. So, and I felt that an hour and a half was okay.
You're right. I have to agree with that. In that perspective, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed, like, oh my God, we're even here an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But with that pretext, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not a life-altering movie.
Nah.
It's a movie. It's entertainment. I was entertained.
Yeah. It was okay. Get in, get out, be entertained. It wasn't like some big old deal of, oh, man, now we, you know, we missed half the day.
Yeah, it's not something I would see twice.
Nah.
Speaking of twice, I did go see Batman and Superman.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Batman
for Superman. My dad's birthday was a couple weeks back. Saturday night, birthday night. I called him. I was like, hey, what you doing? He's like, nothing. Like, let's go to the movies. My treat. I'll come pick you up. So I ended up catching the 10 o'clock showing.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And he enjoyed it.
Cool.
He's not a comic book collector.
Yeah.
You know, he leans more towards the sports than he would towards science fiction. Doesn't like science fiction. But he has kind of gotten into some of the superhero stuff because I'm into the superhero stuff. I had a comic book shop for a while. He's, you know, when I was growing up, I had comic books and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So he's familiar with some of the characters, and he enjoyed it. He really did. I'll have to sit him down and make him watch the first Superman movie, so he kind of gets an understanding of what transpired beforehand. But bringing up the Batman Superman like I did, I brought that up for a reason. I read recently that the studio is thinking of re-releasing Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, in the uncut version of the theaters, which would be a rated R instead of a PG-13. Part of the reason is Deadpool, $758 million. And as of 2 days ago, the Dawn of Justice was $783 million worldwide. So they're looking to bring in more of an audience by putting some more stronger language in there, some more uncut things that they had to take out to make it PG-13, mm-hmm. to make it R.
Hmm.
I would go see it again.
Yeah. It'd be interesting in checking to see what was uncut.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they're going to do, at least release it on Blu-ray and DVD. They announced that. But to re-release it in theaters, that'd be interesting to see.
Like I said, they're discussing it. Yeah. What I read, they're thinking about it. You know, I guess they're weighing the pros and cons to re-release it. Into, you know, I would pay money to go see it for a third time.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the only movie, if I go see it for a third time, the only movie I will ever have seen three times.
Wow.
At the theater. I've seen movies multiple times in the years. I was in the Navy for 20 years. We're out in the middle of the ocean. There's not too much on except for what they're playing on the ship's TV system.
Let's watch Blade again.
A lot of times I've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off a dozen times in 6 months.
Jeez.
Anyway.
It's a good movie, but man, I don't know if I can handle that much. Right. It's a lot of days off.
You go ahead and pick a road movies.
So, as well as I saw The Boss and my wife, she's a fan of Melissa McCarthy. It was meh. Like, it's not... I went in with really low expectations. It was mainly for her. She's done the same thing for me. You just go, you know, with, like, low expectations and, like, oh, I'll come watch it for you. And it was all right. I got some laughs here and there. It was okay. It was just a lot of stuff that, like, the main storyline of it was just out of my realm, you know, of, like... She's starting up a Girl Scout thing, which I relate nothing to. Like, I was in Boy Scouts, but nothing the same. So, yeah, she's starting, like, Girl Scout, her own thing. Like, she was adopted and, like, foster kid for a while. Again, I can't relate to that too much. Melissa McCarthy falling down that much, I can't relate. I mean, I'm a klutz, but I've never seen anyone fall down that much. And that's kind of the joke with her. She falls down a lot, so. But, my wife enjoyed it, so it's all that matters, right? As long as your wife enjoys it.
I know how that is. So I read that there's going to be a Batman solo movie.
Yeah.
Which is going to star, be directed by, and written by Ben Affleck.
Oh, okay. He's pulling what his buddy does, Kevin Smith, and write, direct, and star in. Okay.
So there was no set date on it, but... Rumor it could be one of the two movies that are slated for 17 or 18.
Okay. Yeah, I heard a little bit about that, and I think I saw that was confirmed like late last week or so. But speaking of movies, trailers, my goodness. I watched the MTV Movie Awards that was Sunday night? Monday night? Yeah, Sunday night. They had, most of it was trailers. They had new trailer for Doctor Strange, I think it was that same day. Or maybe it was today or yesterday. I don't know. But this weekend-ish. Was new Doctor Strange trailer. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's a teaser. Make sure.
Yeah, it was a teaser. Make sure I was it's thrown out there.
It's 2 minutes, but it's just a teaser.
You don't learn anything until that time.
Very true. It's very reminds me of a lot of Inception when you see the trailer, because there's like a lot of reality bending, which he's a magician, so it makes sense. That's what magicians do. They bend reality.
He's a sorcerer, man. He's a
sorcerer, whatever.
Sorcerer supreme.
Scruffy-looking nerf herder. Oh, so, yeah, a lot of world-bending stuff, which is like, okay, I don't know if Marvel fans are, like, general comic book fans of movies and whatnot are going to like this, but they liked Inception, so maybe they'll like this. Because it seemed almost too much, like, you know, worlds bending on top of each other and gravity defines. So, I don't know, we'll see. I was expecting a Robert Downey Jr. or somebody come in and make some one-line punch, but...
And there might be.
Who knows? Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it was just a teaser.
It took him forever to bring Spider-Man in the previews.
Yes, very true.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be a part of the universe, so maybe we'll see that in the first actual trailer.
Well, it's supposed to all tie in together, these different phases.
Mm-hmm.
It's all leading to the Thanos and the Infinity Gem. So
Infinity War, yeah.
It's going to tie together. All of these characters are.
50-something, last I heard, it was like 57 or 56.
Characters. Not movies, but characters. Yeah,
characters within the Infinity War storyline, 1 and 2. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they had another trailer come out. Yeah, it looks really awesome. A lot of people were kind of like, you know, why are they out? They're supposed to be ninjas. Why are they out in broad daylight? they kind of cover that a little bit. And the name of the movie is Out of the Shadows. So, you know, a lot of people, I guess it was when they were mentioning that, it was before the title was fully released. And then now they're like, no, it's there for a reason. Calm down, people.
It's got Megan Fox in it. It'll be okay.
she did better, at least, you know, in her acting roles in the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So as long as they stay within that kind of realm, it'll be bearable, at least. For some fans of actual acting. Trying to think of what other trailers. It was a lot. I think there was a new clip of Civil War, I believe. Yeah, that was Sunday as well. Yeah, they had, like, Black Panther, like, grabbed a shield, which I think that was a new part. But, yeah, it was a lot of different things, some different action going on, the teamworks and stuff like that going on. They're, like, infiltrating a building. It was really cool. Definitely check it out. I'm probably missing some. Yeah. Oh, Godzilla. Yeah, Godzilla trailer was released today.
You don't sound very thrilled about that.
No, I'm not thrilled. It was cheesy. It was like it was shot in 1970, whatever.
It was the best ones.
I don't know. I'm spoiled, I guess, and I'm used to, you know, Godzilla 2000 or anything past then.
Did he look like Godzilla, or did it look like that big overshaped lizard that had?
It looked like
Ferris Bueller in it.
It looked like an actual Godzilla. I believe it's a Japanese made movie.
Okay, good.
Because all in the trailer, it was heavy music going on, and there's people shouting and screaming and yelling, but there's no words, so maybe that was just the whole English dub thing. I don't know. That seems to be what they do. Yeah, it was. If you're a huge fan of, like, old school Godzilla, you might like it. For me, it looked like it may have been not even, like, CGI. It may have been, like, stop motion that they did. I don't know. Some CGI. But some just stop motion stuff.
It's gotta be better than the man in the costume walking through the model city.
Yeah, I don't think it was that.
Not that bad.
No.
Bring back the turtle. Was it Gamora?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I used to love watching him.
Anyway. A little choppy. I think the newest Godzilla movie, right? With Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, because they're both in it, but they're boyfriend and girlfriend. Like fighting. Yeah. They were fighting in that, right? Godzilla was fighting another beast?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that the one he came out of the nuclear?
The guy from Breaking Bad?
Yeah. I'm sorry to say Walter, but it's not his name.
Yeah. Had Heisenberg in it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Heisenberg.
He died. Right. Oh.
Sad.
Really early on, I was highly surprised, but. So, along with movies and stuff, Netflix, for you Netflix fans, you now have, or not yet, but here soon, you're going to have another option of subscriptions. You can have the HDR, which is High Dynamic Range, and all it really kind of means is 4K is coming to Netflix. So, right now, there's like HD, high quality, 1080p stuff. Well, they're coming out with 4K, and right now, there's a movie or a show. I think it's a movie. Marco Polo, I think it's a show.
Yeah, it's a TV show. Yeah. It's like second or third season into it.
Okay. But yeah, it's now has a HDR option. So yeah, if for those of you who have 4K enabled televisions, Netflix is looking out for you. So yeah.
There's that. I have no idea what that is, but it sounds good.
it's a high resolution. Usually big giant TVs, really expensive, about $3,000 to $4,000. Used to sell my H.H. Gregg, and there was like, everyone was like, you're going to sell it 4K today. You're
gonna sell it 4K. I can't believe you said the name of that company. That's the company we shall not speak of.
Yeah. They're going to stole my soul.
Don't shop there. Anyway.
Yeah.
Just kidding, folks.
Yep. You can shop where you want, as long as it's not H.H. Gregg. But no. Everyone has their own free will. So we'll leave it at that.
The views and opinions of Brian do not necessarily constitute the...
Yeah, it's exactly. We need to put a disclaimer and all this stuff.
Anyway.
So those movies, shows. You talked about how you finished Daredevil, finally. Season 2.
It was great. I didn't like it as much as I liked Season 1.
Yeah, which is hard to do.
The only thing that saved it was the Punisher. They brought the Punisher character in.
Yeah.
I loved the last episode where the Punisher was helping the Daredevil,
That was cool.
Very... impressed with the Elektra character they brought in.
Yeah. She needs a lot more lead up. Like, there needs to be a lot more there. Fans like mystery stuff, sure, but
yeah.
But it wasn't, I don't know.
The Elektra in the comic books is more exotic. She's more mysterious.
Yeah.
She's more quiet. She's more badass.
Yeah.
But, and I'm sure they'll bring her back, you know, in future seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're setting the stage for the Defenders.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's cool. It was, I was happy. I loved a couple little tie-ins with Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah. Either they announced or something. I saw it somewhere that they're talking about, at least. She-Hulk, Elektra, Punisher, and somebody else, I thought. But at least those three having their own Netflix way down the road after
Bullseye.
Defender. Bullseye was the other one? Okay.
I think it was Bullseye, which I thought was kind of odd.
Because they haven't even brought him in yet. Spoiler alert. Bullseye's not in Daredevil Season 2. You should watch it by now, so.
Yeah, can't watch it now.
You don't care enough, then yeah. But yeah, I liked it a lot, too. It was really good. For me, and I think most of the fans, the stairway scene with the chain where he broke out finally, which in my opinion, like, why didn't he do that sooner? But, like, there's a lot of stuff going on just to shoot the chain, but whatever. Yeah, and so he broke away from the chain on the rooftop, and then he went down the staircase. And he started off in a hallway, and I mean, it was the most excitement I've ever had for a character to be inside a hallway when I saw that, because you saw Season 1, and the hallway scene that anyone talks about in Daredevil Season 1, it was amazing. It was like all one shot, and it was fantastic. He's like busting in and out of doors. He's, you know, he's kicking butt and taking names. But he also shows he's fairly new at this. So he's taking some punches. He's getting knocked down, but he's getting ripped back up, kicking the guy in the face, and taking on another guy. And it just keeps going on. And so the staircase scene, it was great. I loved it. It was really, really good.
You know, I have to admit, I was watching episode 10,
mm-hmm.
and Matt / Daredevil's on the roof. He's talking to the nurse. He let slip an accent. I had no idea up until that moment that he had an accent, that he was not an American actor.
Yeah.
Or he, I'm sorry, let me try again. He was not originally from the Americas.
Yeah, he's an English actor, yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea. I stopped it, I rewound it. I'm like, what? Because he's talking to the nurse and he says, what would you have me do? She says something, then he says, I watched a guy burn in front of me. And right during that sentence, he's got the word and something. Yeah. And it's just a little bit of a foreign accent.
Yeah, he's like foreign everywhere or something like that.
Yeah, so I was like, what?
I know it's just a smidge, but I don't know.
It threw me for a loop. I had no idea. I stopped it, looked up who the actor was, looked at where he's from. Born in London, England. I'm like, holy crap, I had no clue.
Like, I'm done with this show. If he's not from Hell's Kitchen, then I don't care about Daredevil.
No.
No, it was still good. I was watching an interview. I forgot who was all on that because I've seen a lot of them. They were talking with Graham Norton. He's a interviewer. He's got his own show and on BBC over in Britain.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how, because it was an English actor or American actor, and there was a few English actors there too. And he made a remark of, you guys are stealing our parts, our act, or you know, our characters and our shows. He's like, but you're doing phenomenal at it. So we're mad. But we can't do anything about it because you guys are knocking out the park, and it's not a two-way street because we're not over here stealing your guys' stuff. So we need to step it up.
It's like The Walking Dead. Okay, I heard Andrew Lincoln. Oh, he's got an accent. Okay, I didn't know that. Maggie. Oh, okay. And then a couple seasons later, they bring Morgan in. Morgan's sitting on the sofa on The Talking Dead. He starts talking. He's got an English accent.
Really?
I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Okay.
And I had, again, no clue.
Yeah, it's great.
Not that it's a problem.
No, not a bad thing.
When you're not expecting it, it just kind of threw me off.
Yeah, yeah. Like, who is it? There's been a lot. I mean, Henry Cavill, he's Superman, but he's from England.
Mm. You see, I watched him on the Tudors.
Yeah.
Tudors, yeah. It was a great show.
Yeah. I didn't watch that show, but I heard about him. So I heard him. He's going to be Superman. He's cast. And so did some research on him. Like, what? He's an English guy. What is this talking about? And there's a bunch of others. And I forgot what it was. But there was Robert Downey Jr. was talking with somebody. And they were talking about the idea that our culture characters, you know, where if like Superman or who's some other ones? But the fact of, like, these are American-bred characters, and English actors are now taking it. And the English guy, I forgot who it was, but he made the remark of, oh, yeah, kind of like what they might do with Sherlock Holmes down the road. and there was a joke because Robert Downey Jr. played Sherlock Holmes. So it was like, you know, that's like the one that we got. Yeah, it was like the one that we got. So, and a lot of people liked it, and it was a good movie. I saw the first one, at least. It was good. It was entertaining.
Well, the one that threw us for a loop was on Doctor Who and Torchwood. The guy that plays Jack.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't think of what his real name is.
Spacing out as well. He's also Captain on Earth. Jack. Yeah.
But he's got a very strong accent, but he buries it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not an American actor. Well, I guess he's an American actor, but he's got the other half of him.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, moving on. Let's see, what else I got? Oh, speaking of TV shows, Orphan Black is returning.
Really?
TV. It's not going to be on Saturdays. It's going to be on Thursdays now.
Okay.
They're putting up against Big Bang Theory, whatever else on the other channel. It's not important because I'll watch it.
Thursdays. DC Legend of Tomorrow will be Thursdays.
And actually, I DVR that one. But yeah, they're putting it on Thursdays.
Okay. BBC America, do they have a date yet?
I think it already came out. I want to say if it's not this Thursday.
Okay.
It was last Thursday, but I think it might be this Thursday it comes out.
Yeah, me and my wife love that show.
So this coming Thursday, the 4/14.
14th, yeah.
Or last Thursday, whatever that was.
Yeah. That happens quite often. Like, I'm really surprised at my wife how much, like, the shows and whatnot she likes in mine. Maybe it's just my great taste. But
I'll DVR them. So next time you guys are over, you guys can check them out if you want.
Okay. But yeah, it was. I was watching Orphan Black. I heard about it. It was science fiction kind of clones or something, twins or something, you know. And so I started watching it. And it wasn't something I thought my wife would like. So I was like, I'll just watch it. And she came by one time. And she's like, what are you watching? I was like, oh, it's Orphan Black. It's a BBC show. And I think I was on, like, episode 3 or 4, but it was that good of a show that I was like, yeah, I have no problem rewatching it, sure. So I started from one, and she got hooked, and she loves it more than I do. Same thing with Walking Dead. Like, I remember first trying to get her to watch it. She's like, no, because she couldn't even watch the opening scene of Zombieland because it was too gory. And it was like, once you get past for Zombieland, the Jesse Eisenberg and Woody Harrelson movie, once you get past the opening scene, it's you know, Lilacs and Daisy after that. It's not a big deal with the gore. It's just that opening scene, which is hilarious. But she's just like, nope, don't like zombies. She started watching it. She's a bigger fan than I am. So I'm like, sweet, I really like it.
And my wife did not like The Walking Dead at all.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's too gory for her. But this past season B, if you will, of season 6, second half, she's actually starting to get into it.
Okay.
She watched the season finale and was pissed. We're not going to talk about the season finale right now.
Yeah, it's too soon.
She was pissed at how it was left.
Jeez.
And I was like, wow. I was impressed. I was like, yeah, it's about time. You know, so it's good. I'm looking forward to sharing that with her.
Yeah. It's good when the emotion is there and you're connected. And like, I remember watching that, and throughout that episode, I was getting pretty teary-eyed. So just a lot of the stuff that was going on was intense. And there was, what else was it? There was Arrow, was a very intense episode last week as well. Same thing. I'm like, man, like it's like this week of shows is trying to make me cry. I don't know what's going on. I was
sitting there like, okay, that's just, all right, go ahead and finish doing your work there, doctors. Let's go ahead and, okay. Yeah. What? You're stopping? What? What? No.
Yeah.
So I was a little, yeah.
And I think that is, I'm pretty sure that's set. Like, there is no, what do they call it, Lazarus Pit to kind of help that person out. Because as you saw in the season premiere, somebody dies. And I believe, unless they really throw us for a loop, that we finally found out who that person is on the last episode of Arrow.
I thought it was Felicity
who died. A lot of people thought that. A lot of people did.
For sure it was.
Yep. And there was a time where I was like, no, I think it's going to be Diggle. Because just like the idea of who would be a character that is so pivotal for the show that Barry Allen would be a part of it, you know, and it makes sense for that person. And I think it's going to bring in with the next Flash show, it's going to make more sense as to the person who died. But again, it's too soon, so I don't want to spoil or anything. Definitely watch them. An hour, 45 minutes, whatever. Great show. Huge things are happening last week of TV shows. So that's about it that I have for TV shows. You got anything else?
Nope, that's all I got for TV shows, too.
Gaming, for me, the only thing I got is, and I meant to mention this a while back, so I'm sorry, this is old news probably for you gamers out there. I forgot what the company was, but there was a company that has finally made a wireless gaming mouse. And you've had some before, sure, but this one is actually for, you know, first-person shooter games, for online gaming in general. You need a very fast, responsive mouse. I didn't know it too much, so I just had like a, you know, $15 wireless mouse, and it makes sense when I transitioned to a wired gaming mouse. The difference was, the latency was just, it was a huge difference, and you can tell that with the response time and playing the game. So this company has came out and they're making it, and that the latency is like through the roof, and it's great response time if you're into PC gaming specifically and you want to use a wireless game mouse. I think it was like 40 or 50 bucks maybe. Give it time. It's coming out sometime this year, I believe. I believe it's this summer. It seemed like it was really recent that they're actually coming out with it. Speaking of which, small little thing, backtrack, Suicide Squad. That was the other trailer. New trailer for Suicide Squad. I liked it a lot. It was really cool. I watched this video. I was really bored one time and watched this video on YouTube that this guy was analyzing the first trailer, and he was talking about the correlation between the Bohemian Rhapsody song versus what was going on throughout the trailer. Person, and then like, he noticed that the person who made the trailer for it and was editing it put a lot of time and effort, and the people that were creating it put a lot of thought into the lyrics were matching up with what was going on in the trailer and all this stuff. The exact timing of, like, you know, cymbal crashes were going on with explosions and guns and stuff like that. So maybe in a few weeks or so, he'll do the same thing with this one, and maybe there's some crazy thing that I haven't even thought about, the analysis of it. It's a fun trailer. Check it out, for sure.
I'll have to watch. I started watching it on my phone, then I stopped and watched it on my TV later on.
There's a lot going on. I wouldn't suggest watching it just on a phone. I typically watch it on my phone as soon as it gets released. As soon as I hear about it, I'll watch it on my phone. And then as soon as I can, get to my computer, watch it. Soundbar on full blast, HD, 47-inch television. So get the full effect.
Easier, Ghost Rider.
Well, you know, you want to get the full effect of it.
That's true.
But gaming, yeah, I think last time I covered it, and nothing new has really come out. It's nothing new. Again, Horizon Zero Dawn. It's a PS4 exclusive. I think if this game is comes out really, really recent, I think this might be the game that finally makes me take the plunge to buy a PS4.
What?
Yeah.
Don't buy one, because I'll have to buy one.
Well, I want one. I've been wanting one for a while, but there hasn't been some phenomenal game that's come out exclusively with PS4 in which I can't play on my PC. So I'm just like, well, I'll just play on my PC. Well, this game, Horizon Zero Dawn, it's really freaking cool. From what I can tell from the trailer, it's set in, like postmodern, like post-apocalyptic kind of world. These tribes and whatnot are trying to, you know, build humanity back up. But there's these dinosaurs, of course. Except they're mechanical dinosaurs. They're like these robot dinosaurs, and they're humongous. And the main character, she's got a bow and arrow. So it's like post-apocalyptic world. Love that kind of games. Main person they're playing as has a bow and arrow, and with like trick arrows and all kinds of cool upgrades you can do to it. Love that as well. Giant freaking dinosaurs that are mechanical, and this game looks amazing. Like, high resolution, through the roof, it's great. Yes, check. Like, I'm excited for this game. A friend of mine told me about it. I was like, okay, sure, I'll check it out. Seems cool. Watched the trailer for it, and yeah, I was hooked. Because so far, the only other games would be Overwatch. I talked about it before. If you guys don't know anything about it, check out Blizzard Overwatch. They actually had like 8 or 9 minutes, maybe even more than that, two storyline mini-movies. I don't know what you call them, but about, like, 8 or 9 minutes or so. I don't know if they're going to go over every single character. Maybe they're just going to go over some of the main ones. But so far, they've gone over two characters that are in the game of this Overwatch game. It's kind of like a first-person shooter game, whatever you call it. If you know Blizzard and their cutscenes and their movies and whatnot, they're fantastic. And these little things that they've put out so far are amazing. And it's good hype to kind of get you ready for it. So maybe, I think this one be coming out for each week until it comes out. So we'll see. So yes, Overwatch trailers, fantastic. Watch them. Blizzard's amazing. So, and on top of that, the other game for me is No Man's Sky. They're both coming out for PS4, both coming out for PC. So I want to get a PS4 for one of them, but chances are I'm just going to wait for No Man's Sky to come out and I'll get it then, or just get it for PC. Still haven't made my decision yet, because No Man's Sky is this huge, ginormous science fiction game in which you're on a spaceship, and you get out of the spaceship, and you land on planets. get resources, you do bounties. Like, there's just, it's almost like this endless game. It's actually near infinite. Like, they can't be infinite, but it's near infinite. Like, there's actually math behind it. Like, they're like physics and quantum, what have you. There's all this stuff that they've done to make this video game because just how massive it is. So
you can go to other planets?
Yeah, you can go to all the planets.
Oh, see, I like that.
Yeah, you can explore planets.
I played years ago.
Yeah.
That you would get on the ship and you'd zoom to another planet, do a little thing there, and zoom to another planet.
Yeah, yeah.
But
there's actually a storyline to it as well. They haven't released it yet. And, you know, so there's certain quests you can do, and there's certain things you can streamline and stay online with. But you don't have to. You can go exploring other planets. And I think, I don't know exactly, I haven't released it. It's still, even though it's coming out in June 14th or 15th or something like that, it's still pretty secretive. I think it's going to be online, at least for most part. So, like, I can, you know, if I want to meet up with Nick or a friend of mine or somebody, then I'm like, hey, let's meet up at, you know, Andromeda 7. And we'll meet up there. And,
oh, that's cool.
You know, there, and we can quest, we can grab the resources. I mean, I don't know. It's a lot of stuff. I'm trying to lower my expectations because they're really high right now. I'm really freaking excited for this game. The last game I was excited for this much was Battlefront, and it was okay. It was okay.
Yeah.
But I like the exploration factor of this. They've at least told me a little bit that my expectations are okay to be met. So, because with Battlefront, like, I wanted a campaign, even though it's the same storyline, we all know about it, but still, I wanted a campaign for a little bit, but it was just strictly online. But, yeah. So whatever, still fun. But yeah, so games, and to my knowledge, there hasn't been anything big released. So if you're a huge big gamer and there's some awesome news coming out, send us our way. We'll give you a shout out, let you guys know.
Real quick on to some tech things.
Yeah,
read an article in a January issue of Stuff magazine. I left it in the room. I forgot to bring it in. But the article pertained to magnetism.
Okay.
Low-level magnetic fields. And this article was saying that just about everything gives off some kind of magnetic field, especially, obviously, metals. And they're working on wearable devices that you would touch it. You touch a doorknob, and it would automatically unlock.
Hmm.
Because it would be in tune with the signal for that door. Not that the door had to be broadcasting, like batteries and a code. Like, they sell doors that have locks for doors that you punch in a code, or like my car door for my car. If I got the key fought on me, I just unlock the car. I don't have to hit the button. I don't have to put the key in. It's on my person. I walk up to the door, put my hand there on the sensor, the door unlocks, and the keys in my pocket or in my bag. Same principle, only it's like a wearable thing, like maybe a watch. Right now, the technology has got it too big to be wearable, but it's reading these magnetic fields, and it would turn a light on just using the natural energy, not something like on a battery. So I'll have to get the article, and I'll try to bring it up next time.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed with that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff.
Last thing, I got anything else?
Just one thing I saw. I mean, it's kind of old news, but it's just something conversation-wise, that Civil War II... I don't know how much you know about it, but a while back, but they released the teams. So, like, you know, Captain Marvel, the lady, Captain Marvel, she's going to be on same team and whatnot as Captain America, Steve Rogers, War Machine, Spider-Man, Vision, and Winter Soldier, and a lot more, Hawkeye, Ant-Man, etc.
Now, are you talking about the next movie?
No, they're talking about next Civil War II, the comic series. Book event. Okay. Yeah, this summer.
Event. Yeah, yep. Okay.
And then we have Iron Man, because again, Iron Man has always got to be a jerk and
true. Fight to get that somebody. Kind of money, though, you can have jerk money.
So Iron Man's going to be on the same team as Captain America, Sam Wilson. So we're going to have some Captain America fights going on there, as well as Thor, Black Panther, Star-Lord, Luke Cage, Hercules, Daredevil, Black Widow, the Hulk, the new Hulk, and Deadpool. My goodness, now I'm seeing these teams, and it's like, why is Iron Man, like, I'm seeing the trailer. Same kind of thing. Like, it's so one-sided. Granted, yes, they're going to flop sides in the movie. A lot of the characters do. This one, they may as well. I don't know. I don't even know what exactly is going on. There's some standoff thing that's going on in the Marvel Universe.
Who knows?
I tried to pick one up, but it was just like, this is, I don't know if I want this. It's kind of boring stuff. So maybe they're ramping it up more, but at least in the standoff, like, one or two, I wasn't a fan of it. Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what are your thoughts on, like, you know, the fights and how level it is, but, I mean, they got Thor, Deadpool, and Hercules, and Hulk, like...
On Captain America's side?
On Iron Man's side.
Oh.
I mean, Iron Man alone, he's got all his weapons and stuff like that, and Captain Marvel, right? Captain Marvel, she's got fly and super strength and whatnot. And
some invulnerability.
Yeah, kind of generic superhero stuff. I mean, I guess she's going to have She-Hulk on her side and Vision, but I don't know. I'm seeing this pretty one-sided. It was an idea I had real quick. If you had to choose a supervillain to be in real life, actually here, what supervillain would you prefer? I mean, it's a hard task and it's a hard question because, like, well, I know what they do and they kill people and they do this and they do that. I know what their goals are. I know, like, a part of you is probably thinking Doctor Doom.
What would be the... Well, to what end? What would be the purpose of this villain?
Just the fact of, like...
Somebody I'm rooting for?
Not necessarily. I mean, unless you, in real life, if what Doctor Doom's goals are, or Magneto, or whoever, Thanos, which I would hope not Thanos, because that's just end all life.
Let's keep it with an earthly realm.
Yeah. But for them to be on this earth, you know, and the chances are you wouldn't be rooting for them. I would hope not, at least.
So let me rephrase your question.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be, what villain would I be most terrified if they were real?
Yeah.
Is that what you're with me?
Yeah. Something like that. Or the idea of, if they were real, you know, who do you think we could handle, you know, as big overarching villain of Marvel or DC or whatever?
I would have to go with Magneto.
Magneto.
Yeah, who we could handle.
Really? Okay, yeah, because all plastic things and stuff.
Yeah, they could make plastic projectiles. I mean, plastic knives. You just have to get near him. Just not let him know that you're going to take him out. But that's, I would say Magneto.
Okay.
Somebody who I would be terrified,
mm-hmm,
if they were real is the Molecule Man.
Really?
Yeah. I say that looking at the old Molecule Man, the one that could only control molecules of inanimate objects.
Okay.
The reformed one can rearrange any molecules. And that was something that Dr. Doom had, Owen Reese had created his own mental barrier, and he could not do live things.
Oh, okay.
And in the Secret Wars, the first series, when Doom absorbed the Beyonder's power, he opened up Owen Reese's mind to the wonders of the universe. And he controlled any molecules. So I would say him, as far as, like, I mean, he's just kind of a wimpy guy, kind of a low-grade villain. He doesn't really need to be a villain anymore. He can do anything he wants. Yeah, as far as ones that we can control, Magneto.
Okay.
Or stop. What about you?
Well, since you named Marvel, I guess I'll go with DC. I would say maybe Lex Luthor, but I don't know, like, how much of a villain he would be without Superman. Because typically he does the villainous things he does because Superman was here. He did some villainous things beforehand, but I'd say maybe Lex Luthor wouldn't be too bad.
Lex Luthor is one sniper bullet away from being a non-threat.
Yes, that's true. That is true. Which is why he pays for all the people that would shoot him. He pays them off.
Saying, yeah.
Okay, most terrifying of DC? I would say probably Maxwell Lord. He's in the comic books, he's done a lot of mind control stuff.
Hmm.
That or Sinestro. I think he's pretty...
Sinestro, yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Pretty powerful dude. Especially if there was no heroes here. Like, we would just lose. Because he can, you know, block all the bullets or whatever. And he's smart enough to not get in the face of somebody too close. He's always smart enough to be, you know, if he needs to react with something, he's far enough away in distance that he can react. You're like, this is going to be time. So he can do whatever he needs to do. But yeah, I'd say probably Maxwell Lord. Because of mind control. And there was a storyline in which it was massive, like, on a global scale, mind control. Yeah, or Sinestro. There's probably other ones too, but... I mean, the Joker wouldn't be fun, but I don't think he would be global. He would just be terrorizing a city.
Yeah,
and eventually would shoot him. And
he's a bullet away from being stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
So. It's funny you bring up the villains. We watched an episode earlier of Comic Book Men. Kevin Smith, who's the host of that. They had, on this particular episode, they had the guy from, was it Philadelphia?
Seattle, I think.
He was a real hero.
Yeah.
Not superpowers. He doesn't do acrobatics, but I forget the guy's name, but he would go out patrol the streets at night.
Yeah.
With his friends. He had a group. And they weren't threatening people. They would stop crimes. They would apprehend people and hold them until the police showed up. So my question to you is, if you could be a real hero in the costume, you know, and you got the hand-to-hand combat training, because he said that, you know, it didn't work out the first couple nights out, but 6 months later he got some training and a padded outfit, you know, and he got some Kevlar, and he went back out and he made a difference. Mm-hmm. So, that being said, would you, if you had the training and the outfit, would you step outside the door in a superhero outfit and patrol the streets? I'm not asking what powers you'd have. I'm not saying, I'm not in the fantasy realm. I'm just being, as an average person, would you do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Despite what my wife would prefer, yes. Yes, I would. I actually had a conversation with her about it a long time ago, because me and some friends were talking about it. And she's like, unless you have superpowers, I don't condone it. So, yeah. There would be some struggle there. But, yeah. Yeah. I would. The training and whatnot, the time and extra resources, expendable income, because it does take some money to do all that, and you know, get the training and whatnot. So yeah, I would do it. How about you?
I don't know. I know I asked the question, but I honestly don't know. Right now, I'd have to say no, but because I don't have the training or the confidence that you would get with the training, I would have to say no.
Okay.
I would want to. It'd be cool. You know, that's every kid's dream, comic books and being a real superhero, or being a real hero. Maybe not so much super.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it's just a thought. What about you, listeners? Let us know. Let us know who your favorite villain is to be terrified of, if he was real. Which villain you think you could take out, or the government could take out. And would you actually step out your door in a hero, superhero outfit, or in a hero's outfit? Or even just in normal street clothes and patrol your streets? Let us know. Email us. Follow us on Facebook.
Yep. Twitter.
Twitter.
We need to do it more. Twitter, but
keep saying that.
Got it.
Facebook, you message us. So if you listen to us on iTunes, give us a rank. Tell us what you think. Either good or bad. Greatest. Now, this is how we can make the show better.
Yeah. Feedback, please.
Feedback. That's what I'm looking for.
Absolutely.
Give us some feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no curse. Don't curse us out. Just criticism's good. Both positive and negative. We listen to it. Take it to heart.
Absolutely.
So that's all I got. What about you?
That's all I got as well.
This is Nick signing off. Go forth and do great things.